Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of Is This the Church? With the one and only Sister AJ. She's in studio, and we are set to go. Listen, today we're going to have a ball. We have a great time picking apart Dallas Jenkins' apostate series, The Chosen. But before we get into that, before we start having some fun showing how infantile that series is, let me remind you that if you are in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to pray. Do not forget to pray for Brother Kevin Morris, who is undergoing his treatments, and we're believing and we're praying to God that all is going to be well, because the Bible says that all things work together for good for them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And Kevin Morris is a child of God. He loves the Lord. He serves the Lord. And right now he's in a bad spot. Right now he is going through a major challenge. But notwithstanding all of that, We are with him in prayer and in spirit, and so is the Lord. So let's continue to pray for our dear brother Kevin Morris. Don't forget tomorrow at 1 o'clock, guess who's going to be in studio? The one and only Sister Marie, and she's going to be doing some old-fashioned news reporting. So you don't want to miss tomorrow's broadcast, which is another 2 hours of fun. We're just going to have fun because that's what we do when we get on these shows. We just have good old-fashioned Christian fun. Who said Christians don't have fun? We have lots of fun. We enjoy ourselves in the Lord, especially when we're beaten down and taken apart and kicking the can of apostasy. Oh, do we have a lot of fun? Yes, we do. All right. Let me bring on our dear Sister AJ. Here we go. Come on, Block Talk Radio. Do your thing. Sister AJ, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
I'm excited. Can't wait to do this show. Can't wait. Can't wait to do what I love to do each and every week, which is nitpick.
Your spiritual gift.
That's it. I'm going to have George Bloomer. I'm going to have Bishop George Bloomer give me an honorary doctorate and you an honorary doctorate in nitpicking. So he's got a Bible school, and you know, he gives himself degrees and all that stuff, so it won't hurt him to give us one, too.
Right.
So
exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know that there's a I don't know that there's a degree in nitpicking. I don't know if any university has one. But listen, since you know you can do whatever you want at these diploma mills, we're just gonna encourage him to just give out a degree.
They can make stuff up.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So, so what say you? How are things going?
Things are going well for the most part. A little cold
but
it's probably summer day for you here.
Listen,
you know, it's in the 30s here.
Yeah, every day, right now, it is 8 below 0 when you walk outside.
Ooh, boy.
8 below. And I tell you, you know, we have 2 puppies, right? And if there's something that makes them go to the bathroom real fast, it's 8 degrees below zero. Because I've noticed a difference. I've noticed that when I take them out at 6 a.m., it's still dark at 6 a.m. When I take them out, they do their business fast because they want to get back in the house. It's so nice and toasty in the house.
Yeah, my dog does that too. And if I'm standing in the way as he's running back to the door, he'll probably knock me over.
That's it. That's it. That's it. These puppies, they're no joke. I have one. If he hears a snowblower anywhere, he starts to chase it, and he forgets that he's outside to do business. So he's problematic. And whenever it snows and the snow is high, he forgets that he's out there to do business, and he's just jumping in the snow and diving into the snow. And I got to remind him that he's outside, you know, to do his thing, because I'm not going to be out there freezing. But other than that, I mean, they take care of their business, and they run right back into the house. Run right back into the house. It's so cold. So here we are. And I see that, what's his name, Kim Kardashian's former husband, Kanye West, he's got himself a girlfriend.
Yeah, he does. He's almost fixing her up to look like Kim in some of the pictures I saw.
Right, yeah. I mean, first he loves Kim. He wants to get back together. He's begging her to take him back and blah, 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 blah. And then, boom, there he is.
Well,
he's
still doing that, you know, messing
right.
with Kim and Pete and
right.
making a ruckus because they didn't tell him where his daughter's birthday party is or something. And he had to find it out from somebody else.
Right. Well, that's bad. You know, he's the daddy. As far as we know, he's the daddy. And, you know, he's making out the payments for child support, so he should know where the baby's party is. I mean,
right.
I gotta give him that much.
Right. Well, maybe they figured, well, when he gets her, he could get do something for it, because, you know,
that's
maybe
true.
They're tired of his drama.
That's true.
It wasn't his weekend.
Yeah, it wasn't his weekend. That's the problem, you know. Whenever you get hooked up with the Kardashians, you'll find out what it's not your weekend means. Because,
yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
They're going to take you to the cleaners.
They sure will.
So,
and, yep. So he's out every which way. 1 minute he's with this new lady, and the next minute he's sniffing behind Kim.
Yeah, which is, you know, sad. Because, you know, be a man. Be a man. But, you know, it's hard with these guys. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, I suppose.
You never know what
Kanye is up to.
Yeah, you know, and the poor guy's not stable mentally. He's just not, you know. He's not stable. And even when
he
seems stable, you know, you listen to his music and you say, the guy's unstable based on his music.
Exactly. He keeps fooling around. They could file where she could get sole custody and he won't have any visitation.
Right. And also,
working that part out in the courts. Part isn't resolved yet.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, you know, she's almost a lawyer. So she's poring over those books to see how she can corner him and get most of that cash. Right? I mean.
Yeah. Well, she got the four kids, so she'll always have some security in that.
My goodness. With one kid, they take you to the cleaners. What happens when you got four? Wow.
Double rent cycle?
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Quadruple rent.
Oh, my goodness. Horrible.
Yep.
Well, is COVID bad by you? We really don't know. We're just going by what they're saying in the news. But down there where
right.
you're at, are they talking a lot about COVID on the news? Are they pushing it?
Not really. I mean, every so often you'll hear something about, I think the schools closed down for a few days. I think it was because lack of staff or something like that. But don't hear about it a lot here. So I suppose that's a good thing.
Yeah, in your state, you know, you're a very free state. So, you know, they're not going to
mm-hmm.
go by the COVID nonsense like in my state. In my state, everything is COVID. Everything.
Wasn't she on the news saying that the cases were down the other day?
Yeah, but now, you know, when it snowed the other day, she got on the news and said, now when you go out there with your snowblower, make sure you wear your mask. This way you don't give COVID to your snowblower. And I'm saying, this lady's crazy. I mean, you know, wear your mask. This way you don't give your snowblower. I mean, the snowblower is not alive. How could I give it COVID?
Well, you
They're
could
so
put
stupid.
Germs on it and someone else could touch it. And
They're so stupid. They're so stupid.
You don't know what
you know,
to believe.
No, you don't know. You don't listen. They say the hospitals are jam-packed, and you drive by the hospitals, and we have a hospital here, Little Falls Hospital. Oh, it's filled with people with COVID. And you drive by, and the parking lot's empty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I don't know what they're talking about. You know.
Yep, the hot parking lots here look normal.
Right.
No more than they usually were before all this.
Right. I tell you one good thing that has come from COVID. One good thing. My wife has an asthma specialist, and my daughters have a dermatologist specialist, and my other daughter has a foot specialist. I mean, they got all kinds of specialists. But these specialists are up in Cooperstown, New York. There's a big major hospital up there in Cooperstown, New York. My baby girl, Madison, was born in that hospital, in Cooperstown Hospital, right next to the Hall of Fame there. But that's where all the specialists are. And you got to go to Cooperstown, New York to see the specialists. Okay. Well, now I tell my wife, hey, can you do one of those teleconference appointments? And she goes, why is that? I said, well, gas is high. It's 1 hour one way. We can save all that gas. And so now she calls the doctor. They talk on the phone for 15 minutes, you know, that tele-nonsense that they do, telemedicine.
Right.
The doctor writes out a new prescription, bang, zoom, you know, there you go. Didn't have to get in the car, didn't have to drive, didn't have to, you know, do. And so that's one of the good things about COVID.
Yeah.
They're into this telemedicine. Yeah.
Save you some gas going to the doctor. Mm-hmm.
And time, you know. And then after that, you know, there's a couple of shops up there. My wife says, oh, do you think we can go to this little store to see what they have, you know? And before you know it, I'm spending money going from one little store to another because she's squeezing me for stuff. So all of that, I get to save all of that by not taking the drive.
That's right.
Right?
So it's been good for the pocketbook.
That's it. It's been great, because I fill up the car. It, you know, my car is $60 in gas, and I do that on Mondays, and by Fridays, wow! If I have a quarter of a tank, I'm lucky. Because
all the driving back and forth.
Yeah, they have horseback riding. They have archery. They have dance. They have drama. You know, my girls and their mother, they're just up and down. And I'm saying, you guys are killing me. You guys are, you know, you're putting a hurting on daddy with the drama and the horseback riding and the archery. And you got one more, drama, archery. They do so much stuff. It's just mind-boggling. I can't keep up with it. But... that's it. So we're back in studio today to talk about Dallas Jenkins. And by the way, I am not soliciting videos. You know, I don't go on YouTube looking for videos on The Chosen. But I see now
they just pop
a lot
up.
Things are popping up where people are taking him to task.
Yes, they are.
Right?
I started to see quite a few of them around Christmas when we were on our hiatus for the holiday. That's when I really started to see some of them, and they're letting them have it.
And he doesn't
and
care.
And rightfully so. No,
yeah,
he
yeah,
doesn't.
Yeah. No, he doesn't care. He's raking well, in the bucks. That's what it's about with him, the bucks.
Well, he thinks he's got it, bringing in his fishes and his loaves to God, so...
Yep.
He doesn't care what anyone thinks. And
no,
I suppose that among other things, if there was another bad thing to come out of the pandemic, especially when people were locked down, is that a lot of people discovered this show and fell in love with it. And he's developed quite a cult following behind this now.
Correct. But the true saints, those who know Jesus' voice and another they will not follow, they're not drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, they're not.
No.
Thank God for that.
Right. But, no, he's in with the Mormons and with the Catholics, and he's raking in the bucks, and his daddy's writing books, and... he's selling Jesus junk. So that's all he really cares about. And you know, when you sent me the email last week on how we had to go to his streaming service, and it says here, season one, 100% funded. Season 2, 100% funded. Season 3, 100% funded.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy, he's got people filming.
Yeah. They're filming season 3 now.
Right, right. So he gets the money up front to do the shows, right? And then he produces them. And you know, and part of that 100% funding is his money, what he gets in his pocket.
Right. They're getting that cut off the top, I'm sure. And they
right.
and from
sure.
all the other opportunities they get, are you on the site now? Because I want you to look at something since you were mentioning money. Are you
right,
on the,
I'm right here. I'm right here on the site. Mm-hmm.
Well, up at the top across there where it's under the Chosen logo, it says Home, Watch, Gifts, and Pay It Forward. Click on that
right.
Pay It Forward
okay.
tab.
There you go. I just clicked on it.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
and you can scroll down, and when he's saying pay it forward, these are the different programs he's got where of how people donate, and they pay for extra episodes so people can look at it for free, plus they fund the different episodes. So that's if you scroll down a little, you'll start
wow.
to see the numbers.
Wow. Wow.
And they have a goal of $2.5 million for this first episode that they're funding, because they funded one episode at a time. Once one episode is 100% funded.
Wow.
They,
wow. So each episode is $2.5 million.
Yeah, that's what it looks like here. Mm-hmm.
So who's getting, listen,
and
who's getting
and
that money?
And they're 77% funded. I guess they use it for expenses with filming.
Yeah, but look, $2.5 million is not chump change.
No, it's not. Where they already at a little over $1.9 million for this first episode here.
This is crazy.
They're funding season 4. Yeah. They're already fully funded for 3, so this is season 4 they're working on now.
So this is millions and millions and millions of dollars that people are giving to fund
yes.
this.
Yes.
And in this climate where people are financially struggling because of inflation, look at the money this
mm-hmm.
guy's raking in.
Yeah. And look, if you scroll down, it's the program starts where you can donate $15 and you get certain things for the money that you give, and all the way down to the bottom, the most they have is, at least for this program, is $100,000 somebody can give. And you with that amount, you give at least 200,000 episodes to other people around the world to watch for free. And you get different things. Like, see, down at the bottom, you get pre-screening pass to watch season 4 early, you get your name in season 4 credits, unlimited set visits for your family, and co-executive producer credit in one episode of season 4 if you donate $100,000, plus all the things that come with the other programs.
And listen, you know, I told you that I went to go see a movie with my son about a dog that ran away from home and got lost, and he's trying to make his
right.
way back home. And at the end, we saw the executive producer, T.D. Jakes, which means, you know, when you're an executive producer, it means you're forking over the money to get the movie done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's how he suckers people into, you know, you're helping me make, so we're going to give you credit, your name is going to roll on the screen. and you can, you know, you can rewind it and watch your name go up and down and rewind it and watch your name go up and down. And, you know, I mean, this is a joke. But, hey, it's working for him.
And I would caution the saints to about donating, because they may say, well, we're just giving for the chosen. We're not involved in the other stuff, even though he's hooked up with the Mormons. We're just paying for this. But this, they divvy up the money that you give. And and like I was saying last week, the Mormons have a very strict tithing policy to be considered a Mormon in good standing. They have to tithe 10% of their income. So, you know, the Mormon guys are giving some of their earnings to the Mormon church itself. So if you give money or buy the products or pay it forward in this program, you're donating and to help, and you're, what you're doing is helping them. And I've wondered how God feels about that when we use our resources and basically help false teachers, heretics, and wolves, and anybody else who wants to exploit his people. I wonder how he feels about that.
Well, he's got
to. So I try to be careful.
Yeah, listen. He's mad. He's mad because, first of all, the church has become unequally yoked, and God inspired Paul to write passages of Scripture, which rebukes us for doing such a thing, and especially if you are not only yoked to them, but then you are supporting it financially. So no, God is not pleased with any of this. The same way God wouldn't be pleased with anybody sending Benny Hinn an offering, or sending Creflo Dollar an offering, or Leroy Thompson an offering. God isn't pleased with those offerings either. Right?
I agree.
So. Yeah, but again, this guy is shameless, and he doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And they have creative ways of, you know, suckering people to, you know, it's like when Jim Baker says we're gonna erect the Prophet's Center. Remember, a couple of years ago, he was promoting the Prophet's Center, where he was gonna have statues. Like the Roman Catholic Church has statues of Mary. He was going to have statues of John the Baptist, a statue of Elijah.
Oh.
He was going to do a whole prophet center up there in that mountain that he's got over there in
Missouri,
right?
Isn't it?
Yeah. He was going to do that. So if you send a certain amount of money, you would have a nameplate, right? Your name would be inscribed. And that's how they sucker you. They give you credit. No. You know, Jesus said, look, if you give money and you already get praise down here, you lost your credit up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus
said.
You
have your reward.
There you go. You know, if you're looking to get credit here and your name read off a list or your name to appear somewhere, that's it. You get nothing from God, because that's not the way God operates. You give and shut up. You give and don't take any credit. You give and keep walking, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no, these people, they want trumpets to be announced. You know, your name up in lights, your name up on the silver screen. And, again, a tragedy. But, you know, this is the world. This is the Laodicean church. You say you're rich, but you're poor. That's what this is.
Right.
That's what this is. So, you know, he's a businessman. This guy's a businessman, a worldly businessman.
Yes, he is. He has sold out for riches.
Right. And I'm pretty sure people like T.D. Jakes and others who are trying to get into the Christian so-called Hollywood movement, and I use air quotes when I say Christian Hollywood, they're probably kicking themselves that they didn't come up with the system that he's got.
Yeah. Well, T.D. Jakes still did pretty good with the movies, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He did good. He did good. But, you know, he bankrolled them himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then got, you know, he doesn't have, T.D. Jakes doesn't have partners. He puts up the money, and he gets all the money himself.
Right.
Now, he pays his actors, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't have partners. It's T.D. Jakes' enterprise.
That's
so there's
right.
different ways of doing it. There's different ways of doing it. But this guy found a way, you know, and, of course, he's in bed with a lot of people. And, you know, when you're in bed with a lot of people, that's called a prostitute. That's what that is.
Absolutely. That's
yeah.
right.
So he may be glee and happy, and his wives may be talking about the loaves and the fishes and all that baloney, but we're not buying it.
Right. Well, you see on this page, they got that at the top here by Dallas's video saying, we'll bring our loaves and fish. You can bring
mm-hmm.
yours. Together we'll
right.
watch God feed the 5,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
that
yeah, yeah.
that five loaves and stuff is his hook, his marketing
that's
ploy.
That's it. That's all it is. That's all it is. So, but their judgment's coming. So he's gonna
mm-hmm.
have to answer to the Lord, because nobody
yes,
gets
he
away
will.
With anything down here. No one.
Right.
No one.
He may
no one.
Have his name and name down here, but it may be blotted out of the book of life.
That's right. That's right. And sad to see his father, who partook in that Left Behind series, to see
yeah.
that his father's, you know, is playing with fire.
Yes, he is.
Because, you know, Eli was supposed to rebuke his sons.
Right, and God judged him because he did not do that.
Right.
He just let them run wild.
That's it. He honored his sons more than he honored the Lord. And you just can't do that. No, absolutely not. Now, look, I know we love our children and, you know, we want the best for our kids. But the best is speaking the truth in love. Son, this is heretical.
Mm-hmm.
This is, God prohibits your joining with the Mormon church. This is not God. You don't say, this is God. Oh, my goodness, the Lord answered our prayer. No, you don't say that.
Nope, that's not the Lord answering that prayer. That sounds like the same thing that Satan tried to do with Jesus, where he
right.
offers them all this stuff in exchange for worship and all other kinds of things he offers them. But I think a trick he plays on a lot of so-called believers is that he makes you think you can do God's work using these methods.
Mm-mm. You can't. You can't. Absolutely not. You can't. You cannot do God's work. Well, you can deceive yourself into thinking you're doing God's work. But you know, when I look at a guy like Dallas, he's too calculating to be, to be duped. For me,
oh, you don't.
He's
so
too,
he's not an innocent dupe in this. He
no,
knows
no,
what
no,
he's
no,
doing.
No, no, no. He knows exactly. What he see and see, Dallas is like Esau. Esau sold his birthright.
Yeah,
see?
That's true. Yeah.
And the book of Hebrews calls Esau a fornicator. Now, there's no record in the Genesis account. There's no record that he was engaged in fornication. But the commentators, the scholars, say that the word fornication there is. That he is spiritually fornicating in that he went over to Ishmael's side of the family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he got himself two wives from that side of the family. And Ishmael was not a follower of the Lord. So it was spiritual
right.
fornication. Because when Jacob is about to leave, Isaac tells him, whatever you do, don't take for yourself a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Don't go there. And that's
mm-hmm.
exactly what Esau did. So it's a spiritual fornication that he's engaged in. And listen, that's why I said before, it's spiritual prostitution. That's what that is. You know,
right.
if you when you serve the Lord, you have got to sit by the Brook Cherith, right? Not at a five-star hotel. You got to sit down at the Brook Cherith and wait for the ravens to bring you whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And the
right.
ravens don't bring three meals. They only bring two, in the morning and in the evening. He had to fast every day for lunch. There was only two meals. And then when he went over to the widow's house, every day it was a pancake. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
There was no mayonnaise.
But God kept him.
Right. There's no mayonnaise. There's no cream cheese. There's no jelly. I mean, you know,
no
it's
bagel.
Just the pancake. Right?
That's right.
But that's it. That's what God provided. And so, you know, it's if you're going to get involved in ministry, that's what awaits you. That's what awaits you. Bread
right.
with no mayonnaise, many times. Bread with no cheese.
No peanut butter. No nothing.
Peanut butter. That's it. You know, that's what awaits you. I remember one time I was doing real bad, you know, money-wise. A lady called me, an old student of mine, said, hey, we want you, I'm doing a house service, and I want you to come to my house and lead off the first church service. Because she was starting a church, and I want you to come as my old teacher. I want you to come and preach this first sermon and all this and that. Well, when I went to the house and I finished preaching, she says, "Now, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm giving you this waffle maker. It was in a box,
mm-hmm.
and I went to Sam's Club, and I got this big sack." Of pancake mix, and I got these two big tubs of maple syrup, and
mm-hmm.
she just got a bunch of stuff that goes with the waffle maker. Let me tell you something. I got home, my wife and kids saw the waffle maker, and they saw the pancake mix, and they saw the syrup, and we were in heaven. I mean,
mm-hmm.
we were just having waffles breakfast. I mean, we were, you know, it was some hard times. And
right.
And we came back, and I mean, we looked at that, and we were praising God. Praise every now and then we're looking for stuff in the cabinets, and we there's the waffle maker, there she goes, the miracle waffle maker,
right.
you know, and that's ministry.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't compromise. You don't sell out. You don't prostitute
right.
yourself. You know, you stand your ground. God will provide. God will come through. God will take care of those who serve him. That's it. You don't, you know.
And maybe Dallas didn't realize that his failure in Hollywood may have been God trying to protect him from that life, but he wants to be a filmmaker so bad until he was willing to sell out.
Absolutely. 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 I'll tell you a funny story. I was preaching for Bishop Merrick in Detroit. He has a big, giant church. If you Google him,
okay,
Bishop Merrick
I've heard
in Detroit.
Of him.
Right, he's got a big church. I was preaching for him before he went bad. He hooked up with that guy in Chicago. What's that Word of Faith guy? Bill Winston. Later on, he hooked up with him and went bad. Mm. But before he went bad, I used to go preach for Bishop Merrick. And he says, Jakes is going to be at my church tomorrow, and I need to introduce you to Jakes. He's going to love you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the meeting never happened. That was God protecting me.
Yeah.
That was God was saying, you know, no. And not that I was chasing Jakes. I could care less about Jakes. But Satan has a way. Satan has a way of ensnaring God's saints.
Yes,
he does. And, you know, Jakes was so snooty and so uppity and such a peacock that I left because I had to catch my flight. And you know that these uppity preachers, they always show up at the last minute. So I had to get into a car and go to the airport or I was going to miss my flight. And if I fooled around waiting for that guy, you know, to meet him. So God just, you know, God just
made
so
sure
many
that
times,
meeting didn't happen.
Exactly. So that's what God does. God just protects. That's what the Lord does. So
right, but it looks like Dallas Jenkins didn't want to leave it alone. So here we are reviewing his series, The Chosen.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like you said, look, he's going to have world acclaim. He's going to be and look, these guys, although we know he's very thin-skinned, we know Dallas is very thin-skinned because you played videos before. You had us play videos where he is trying to defend his the things he's done with Mormons and they're my brothers and blah, blah. So we know it. We know people are getting under his skin and he's trying to defend himself. He's trying to justify what he's done. We know we know he's very infantile. We know, you know, he cannot handle criticism. But at the same time, he has decided to insulate himself and say, I'm not going to listen to what my evangelical brothers have to say, because I want this so bad.
That's right.
I want to succeed so bad. And then his daddy, instead of his daddy rebuking him, his daddy's playing along.
Right.
And, you know, and so that's what he's done. He's, you know, he's in a very precarious place because no one can talk to him. He won't allow anyone to get near him and talk to him and bring him to, you know, and that's why the Bible says in 2 Peter that God made the donkey talk to Balaam to get the mad prophet, the insane prophet, to come to his senses because he was, you know, he had gone off his rocker. So,
and he was about to get his head cut off by that angel.
That's right. And the donkey says, you know, I when I sat down, it was to save your life.
Mm-hmm.
And here you are beating me. And that angel was going to cut off your head. And I sat down so that he would not hurt you. But here you are beating and hurting me and, you know, domestically abusing me.
Right.
You know, and so that's Dallas, you know, he's on that donkey, riding that donkey to success, what he thinks is success. But God's not in it. God's now, again, world acclaim he has.
Yes.
You know, he's got that. He's, you know, and he's, you know, he is just enjoying that and, you know, just can't believe. He's pinching himself. I can't believe I've achieved, you know. I can't believe where I'm at. He sees the checks coming in, you know. The royalties coming in, he just sees it, and he's just like, he's out of his mind, and he just can't believe that he's got people funding. He's got people sending in the cash to fund his madness, right?
The money flowing in.
There you go.
Through donations, and you saw all the money people were donating when we watched the episodes on YouTube.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Last week we started on episode 4, so if you go back to watch and then scroll down to click on season 2 to bring up the season 2 episodes, and we on episode 4.
So we're in season 2, right?
Yes.
Or was it season 3 that we were in?
They're filming season 3 now, so it's only 2 seasons, and we're in episode 4, which is called The Perfect Opportunity, just to make sure you got the right one there.
Okay, so now we're on episode 4, and what number did we stop it at?
We stopped at 1635 last week, and this is the episode where we're going to be introduced to Simon the Zealot. So another disciple is coming on to the team, and also it'll highlight Jesus healing the man at the pool of Bethesda, and Dallas is showing these two guys as brothers in this episode.
Hey, I'm Dallas Jenkins, creator of...
I'm so sorry. Hold on. I'm just trying to get to... I'm going to keep talking. I'm just trying to get my place here. Yeah.
Okay.
So season 2. Okay. Episode 4.
Yes, it's called The Perfect Opportunity. You'll see it at the bottom of the little picture.
Right. I'm trying to bring this over so I can see.
Well, what you do is you put your cursor over you see a line underneath there with an arrow to the left or arrow to the right. You have to click the one that's on your right-hand side to move it forward, and it should work so you can see.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it's not letting me. Hold on. All right, so we're at 16. Repeat that number again.
35 is where we stopped last week. Yes,
1635. Okay. Do you want to go back a little?
That's completely up to you. If you want to go back a little, maybe the 1600, because what it's going to show is Simon getting ready to do some sort of terrorist thing that he and his zealot friends have got planned because they're all in Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles.
Right. That's when he was meeting with that guy that looked like Osama bin Laden.
Right.
Yeah. I remember that. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's see if I can get the sound, the volume right. Okay.
We'll never return. The Lord is in your hand. You shall never again hear evil. On that day, you shall be led to Jerusalem. Fear not.
It doesn't matter, any kind of crate or ballad or stone would work. A stone, Yanni. This is a public teaching.
I picked this market specifically because it serves so many poor. They're hungry for the words of a teacher. And they're probably afraid of you.
Afraid of what?
It's the holy city. You're a Pharisee. Just relax. Let us pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who bestows good things upon the unworthy.
The Birkat Hagamel. But that's the blessing for life-threatening situations.
You'll be fine. This is the first step to gaining a following. And once you have, your message will have even greater weight in the temple. For both of us. Good luck.
You're leaving?
These people are hungry for the word. I'm hungry for breakfast. The Hatov Vehamitev.
Blessed are you, Lord,
our
God,
King of the universe,
King of the universe,
good and
who
does
is good.
Good
and does good.
Okay, Jesse.
Uh-huh.
You're moving from the edge?
There's no point. It was a dumb idea.
You're not going to try anymore. No, Jesse. You don't have any hope. Then why are you still here?
Cohorte Urbane, secret police, more like marshals, elite soldier investigators. I heard the captain call him Atticus. Don't stare.
Never seen one before.
Or you have, and you didn't know.
Hello?
What brings you to Jerusalem?
The festival, the pilgrimage.
You're a few days early.
I have family here.
In what district?
Near the Antonia Fortress.
Are you carrying weapons?
No.
You're free to go.
No! No!
What was his crime?
Murder?
What is your name, soldier?
Linus Silnius, sir.
Linus, I want you to take your next assignment very seriously.
My next assignment, sir?
The Antonia Fortress is not a residential area. It is a public forum. That man does not have family there. Do you understand? Axius, send Linus Silnius home and take over this checkpoint.
I am so hungry. All I can do not to bite into this pomegranate.
I was too. But the vendor had a stain on his tunic that looked like a baby spit up. It made me nauseous.
I know. I heard you tell him that.
Be patient. You shouldn't eat right now. Your hands are filthy.
You really don't hold back, do you?
I'm just being helpful. You want to impress Rema, right?
What?
You heard me.
A deceptive vision. They have not exposed your iniquity to restore your fortunes, but have seen for you oracles that were false and misleading. I say to you, brothers and sisters, fellow children of Adonai, We must always be on guard against the false prophets among us, who use God's word, not to praise him, not to glorify him, but in the pursuit of their own power.
What are you doing?
Often, we think of false prophets.
This guy is so irritating to me. Makes sense. You're kind of the same person. All numbers and logic. Except he can't tell jokes.
Guy.
We should see what he wants. That Pharisee knows us. He does not approve. What do you mean? He used to live in Captain. He once yelled at our master.
That guy?
He called for his arrest at the house of Big James and John's father. We should go.
Where? The meeting place is a block away.
What are the odds?
You guys are both actually calculating the odds. Look, just stay out of sight. The Pharisee doesn't know our faces. We see the others, go ahead them off.
Tomorrow night begins the Feast of Tabernacles. Over 1 million Jews are flooding into our city at this very moment from every corner of Israel, all to observe the feast, yes, but some may bring with them an agenda. Some false teachers may seize upon the large crowds to spread their heresy.
You see what
and
I mean, though?
Consider yourself to be devout.
About Matthew and you?
And no
please don't speak.
To the letter, beware they are not used against you.
All right, so they're going to a different scene now. So what say you about this section, this little long section that we've been watching now?
It's really not a lot to say about it. It's kind of useless, you know, more fillers it seems like. But the Pharisee that they were referring to, you remember him, he's the
right.
guy that is apparently trying to gain a following in Jerusalem, and it looks like Dallas is building him up to be one of the main guys to get the Sanhedrin against Jesus is what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
He's the villain
right.
this story, one of the antagonists.
Yeah, he was the student of Nicodemus who in this
right.
series is opposing some of the new views that Nicodemus has.
Right.
And he's the outspoken student who rebels against his teacher. And
right.
Yeah. So all right, let's keep it moving here. Let's like you said, you know, none of this happened, but it's in the series, so okay.
Right.
Every street he walks, every spot he goes, we track his movements for 2 months.
Near the end of every Shabbat, at the start of the first day, Motzi Shabbat, he goes to his favorite restaurant in the upper city, the Valeria.
And there are no other patterns, no other places he goes consistently?
To the Praetorium every day, of course, but it's heavily guarded on all sides.
The restaurant is utterly exposed.
He always has a guard, and only off hours when he is with his wife, too.
This young Russian tradition is a problem. If the streets are empty for Shabbat, it will be harder to create a diversion. It will be a challenge to get into position as Shabbat is ending.
Roman is smart to choose Shabbat.
Of course. Never underestimate the enemy.
We have an ally with a shop on the square. We could store our weapons there and be ready as soon as Shabbat ends.
Excellent. I need a cart with dry straw and 3 additional men. See to it.
Let's stop it there, because now we're moving into another thing where the disciples are putting leaves over that makeshift shelter. So what say you about this piece here?
Well, it's Simon meeting with his co-conspirators there in some underground tunnels to get ready for, it looks like they're going to assassinate a Roman official or something, I think. Mm-hmm. And they've got this guy following him, the Roman secret agent, I guess, that's on to Simon, and so he's tracking him in order to see what he's gonna do. At first I saw this guy as like, what is he supposed to be? So I did look up to see whether or not Rome had guys like that, and I guess they did. From mm-hmm. what I could tell, they were like military police, but they would give them special assignment from time to time. So maybe this is realistic what Simon was saying. And
right.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention in one of the other scenes earlier where we saw the man at the pool of Bethesda try and fail to get in when the waters were troubled. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Okay. All right.
But that's all that's going on here. You have any comments?
Well, like you said, I mean, he's weaving a story, right? Here you have the disciples. They're Matthew and the other two. They're picking up the supplies for the feast, and they're picking up the leaves and, you know, the shelter mm-hmm. material and all that. And like you said, all of this is just filler, because mm-hmm. none of the gospel writers ever spent any large quantity of time showing that the disciples went shopping or, you know, went to go get stuff. And, you know, so like you said,
right.
You know, this is just all conjecture. You know, again, Matthew looks like a nut. He's a loon. He rubs the other disciples the wrong way. You know.
Right.
Again, it's a waste of time. This is a, you know, mm-hmm. a waste of time episode, because, you know, when we preach or when we teach or when we commit anything, you know, when you do a play in church, whatever it is that you do, there has to be a gospel message.
Right.
There's no gospel message to this. You know, when the disciples wrote down the miracles of Jesus, when the four evangelists wrote down the miracles of Jesus, was to convey a gospel message. What gospel message is there in going to get groceries or in building a booth? Right. I mean,
well, on occasion, the Bible would say that when Jesus would send them out for supplies, but it doesn't go into detail or anything, you know, it's just filler. And once again, where is Jesus? Or is he still asleep? Because remember at the end of the last episode, he was looking pretty bad.
right. He was all beat up from all those hours of ministry. Yeah.
Right.
So, no. Again, this is, he's spinning a yarn. He's very good at spinning yarns. And, but there's no, you know, and here's the key thing that you mentioned weeks ago, is that here you have Simon the Zealot coming in like in year one and a half. when he's supposed to be there at the beginning,
right?
So again, you know, when you look at the entire, why is this guy coming in so late into the, you know, Mary Magdalene's there before him.
Actually, she was the first disciple called in the gospel according to Dallas Jenkins.
Right. So, you know, again, here, you know, when you go to Acts 1 and it talks about the qualifications of an apostle, he had to have been there since the baptism of John.
Right.
This guy's coming in a year and a half later.
And Jesus with, when he was talking in John 15, when he was telling them about the Holy Spirit coming, at the end of that chapter, he says, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. But this isn't the beginning the way Dallas is dragging this out. I mean,
no.
The Gospels seem to show the disciples being chosen in pretty quick succession, but here he's dragging it out forever.
Right. And again, you are... You are not telling the story the way it's told in the Bible, and that's the problem. You are altering chronology. That one scripture that you just mentioned cancels out this entire episode. Do you take this film and you throw it in the garbage?
Yeah.
Because this guy's coming in too late. This doesn't even make sense, right?
Because so, they would have witnessed everything that Jesus did, and Simon hasn't even joined up yet, so he missed a whole bunch of stuff.
Right. So, no, this is, again, like you said several weeks ago when you were going to when you said, well, we're going to be introduced to Simon, that cancels out this entire episode, because we know now that this is just, it's not only nonsense, it's not only filler, it's wrong.
Right.
It's completely wrong.
And there's nothing in here to suggest that Simon was related to the guy at the Pool of Bethesda.
Right. Yeah, which is another key point. All right, so they're here, and one apostle is supervising, one disciple is supervising the placing of the branches and the leaves.
Well, you know, Nathaniel is the architect.
Right. Well, yeah.
That's the one
again,
with the papers.
Right. So he's the one who's the building, another building fell apart, it crumbled. Right before his eyes, so he was kicked off that job. And
right.
So here he is now building with sticks because he can't be trusted with brick and mortar. So,
right.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Here we go. And by the way, you don't need an architect to build these booths that the Jews have been building since forever, because this is an annual feast. You don't need an architect for that. I don't need
God gives them instructions on how to build it, right?
Yeah. I don't have to tell my kids how to put the tent up in the backyard. They already know how to put them up. I have to tell them how to do that. They're not architects. You know, this is just silly. But here we go. He's got blueprints for a little makeshift thing. He's got blueprints. Amazing.
Yes.
Okay.
With all due respect to Daniel, I know you're a skilled architect, but the thatched roof won't keep the rain out.
That's the point. The vegetation provides shade from the sun during the day.
And if a few raindrops get through, it is a reminder of our dependence on God, of His provision, and of how our people were so vulnerable in the wilderness. And He brought us through.
There was a time in my life, in my old life, where I had to sleep outside. It is a good reminder of how I was delivered from that.
This time of dwelling in booths is also a leveler of people. Wealthy, poor, everyone sleeps outside as equals.
Well, let's be honest. Not all booths are created equal.
Yes, Nathaniel, the beauty of this booth is itself an act of worship.
Rabbi, I have a question.
Yes.
In the prophet Zechariah, it is written, and everyone who has survived of all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles.
Wait, what?
Zechariah says that?
They read that passage of the feast every year. You just don't pay attention.
And there's a lot of readings. They sort of run together.
What exactly is your question, Big James?
One day, our enemies will celebrate this feast with us. Babylonians, Assyrians,
Romans.
The Romans, Jews and Gentiles at this table? What would have to happen for that to be possible?
Something will have to change.
But the booths won't mean anything to them.
We're the ones who dwelt in temporary shelters while we wandered the wilderness, not them.
Everyone has wandered through the wilderness at some point.
If all the nations came to celebrate in Jerusalem, there will not be enough room, not by... I will not bore you with the calculations.
I think it will not be Jerusalem as we know it now.
Certainly not.
But if Zechariah prophesied that it will be fulfilled, right?
It just sounds impossible.
I know a thing or two about prophecies that sound impossible.
Anyone have other questions?
All right, so what say you?
Well, more dragging out. Earlier it showed Simon getting ready for whatever they're doing, and then finally Jink and Jesus shows up, and they're having their feast. It's nighttime. when he's beginning to explain and talk about the booths, and he called it a great leveler, rich or poor, all that stuff, everyone sleeps outside. I wrote down here just liberation theology alert. Like, right. It had that ring to it of some modern stuff about everybody coming together, everybody's going to, I mean, it just had that ring to it to me, especially
right.
when they're talking about the different people that will eat that feast together, the prophecy in Zechariah. So what say you, brother? I don't think Jenkins Jesus did a very good job of explaining how that's going to happen either.
Right. Well, Jonathan Edwards, the great Jonathan Edwards, wrote a book called, based on that prophecy, A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union Among God's People for the Revival of Religion. That was the title of the book, and that was the prophecy in Zechariah.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the text talks about how God is going to pour out his spirit and there's going to be an end-time revival, right? And that the people who hate the Jews will honor the Jews and see that it was through them that Messiah came. Now, that ties into what Paul says in Romans 9, 10, and 11. The question is God done with the Jewish people? And the answer is no, right? He's not done with them. Now, right now, they have a veil over their eyes. They want nothing to do with Messiah. But once the period of the Gentiles ends, then God will turn his attention to Israel, and all Israel shall be saved, right? That's another scripture that ties into that prophecy. So, like you said, Jenkins Jesus, who is theologically shallow, doesn't explain any of that. And, of course, if you recall in the Gospel of John, I think it's the 12th chapter, where the Greeks, this is before the death of Jesus. It's about a week before the death of Jesus. The Greeks come to Andrew, and they come to Nathanael. The Bible says they first came to Nathanael, and then after they came to Nathanael, Nathanael went to Andrew. Those are the two disciples with Greek names. And so the Greeks who want access to Jesus are seeking access to Jesus through disciples that have Greek names. So they come to Jesus and say, look, the Greeks are looking for you. And then Jesus says, the hour is come when the seed must fall into the ground and die. For if it doesn't die, it doesn't
right.
bear fruit. He's talking about his death. When he dies and he's resurrected, the middle wall of partition will be broken, and then there's going to be fellowship between Jew and Gentile, Jew and Greek. So that's what Jesus was referring there when the Greeks were starting to seek him out. That, you know, it was important for him to die so that salvation can go to all men. That's, you know, because
right.
and so when Big James in this story says, but how can the Babylonians and the Assyrians worship with us? Well, because Jesus tears down the middle wall of partition.
Right?
When now there's neither Jew nor Greek, right? They can all come to God. They can all have access to God. Dallas Jenkins doesn't develop that.
Not at all. He just says something's got to change. It's like, what? That
right,
sounds
right, right.
like man-made gospel. He's, you know,
right,
the,
right,
change
right.
the world type stuff that people talk about, especially the New Agers and folks like that.
Mm-hmm. And the thing
like
about the leveler.
We can do it, and there's no
right.
Messiah involved.
Correct, correct. And the other thing, like you said before about the leveler, right? In the eyes of God, all Jews are the same. They're all his covenant people. I mean, that's, you know, that's all his people are the same. Now, Of course, like in our churches where in the African-American Pentecostal churches, now you have archbishops and you have bishops and you have, well man did that. Man has set up, you know, that hierarchy. That's not of God. We are all a kingdom of priests. We are a royal, all of us are members of a royal priesthood, to offer of spiritual sacrifices unto God. Man has come up with these hierarchies. That's not the
right.
Lord. The Lord never did that. So so when Jesus says it's a leveler, no, he should have never brought that up. Jenkins, Jesus should have never brought that up because he's God, and he should know that all men are the same. I mean, how did America get, how did we get that all men are created equal? How do we get that? We got that from the Bible.
Right.
Right? So, again, no, that's like you said, that's liberation theology where, you know, now God is going to force all men to have the same, to be at the same level socially. Right. See, in the, like, for example, in the church, the pastor is not more anointed. This nonsense where, you know, he has an anointing. No, that's nonsense. We all have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's not like, look, it's not like I'm washed in 100% of the blood of Jesus and you're only washed in 45% of the blood of Jesus. No. It's all God. It's all, you know, it's all gold standard when it comes to the Lord. Nobody gets shortchanged. It's not like my name appears in a special book of life and other people get their names in a different, you know, a second tier book of life. No, we're all in one book.
Mm-hmm.
We're all washed in the same blood. We're all covered by the same Holy Spirit. We all have the same Heavenly Father. It's only in the church where they set up these hierarchies and these different – it's like, okay, if you're a tither, you're going to be more blessed than the non-tithers. See, it's just
right. –
it's the church's way. If you give $100,000, we'll put your names on the credits, right? I mean, it's – that's just the world. That's just, you know, this is why James says when you go to church, when you read the Epistle of James, he says if you got a poor man sitting in the front and a rich man comes in, don't allow the poor man to be kicked out to give the seat to the rich man.
Right. No, show favoritism.
Right, because we're all equal in the eyes of the Lord. We're all equal. Now, some people have different levels of responsibility, but different levels of responsibility doesn't mean different levels of status. That's
right.
No, because we're all sheep. Even a pastor's a sheep. Who is he a sheep of? Of Jehovah. So even a pastor's a sheep.
That's right.
We never stop being sheep, even though we may be a pastor. So, no, this is, like you said, he likes to, you know, these are subtle ways in which he interjects this stuff. And,
right.
And this Jesus doesn't explain anything.
He's very cryptic in a lot of things that he says, even when they ask questions. It's almost like they're showing Philip as a better teacher than Jesus because he advises and gives them a lot of guidance, and this Jesus just talks in code, and he didn't do that to the disciples when they were private. He would explain the parables and the different things that he taught to them so they would understand it. And
right.
And in that same chapter you're talking about, he talked chapter 12 in John, he talked about his death frequently with them, it starting kind of early on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't hide that from them.
Right.
But Jesus, he never says that directly, at least he hasn't so far in this show.
And this Jesus, you know, when he says, does anybody else have another question? Well, you didn't answer the first one.
Why
would I give you another one? Right? I mean, you're wasting my time. You didn't answer
right.
the first one. So, no, this is Jesus. Well, he's a Catholic Jesus, of course, and the Catholics never give you a straight answer, so. Okay,
you
got
to go to Mary to get the answer.
Yeah. In fact, if you notice, Mary did give an answer there.
Yes,
she did.
She
at
did.
The end. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Hello, friends. Have a seat, please.
Rabbi, we may have a problem.
I'm listening.
Shmuel is here.
Our Shmuel?
Yeah. He was on a street corner today, raising the alarm about false prophecy.
He means you, Rabbi.
You sure?
Yes, well, he is then.
I'm joking. I know he means me, Simon.
So Shmuel is in Jerusalem, talking about me. That's even better.
Better.
I think I'm going to see someone inside the city walls tomorrow. You may come if you like. I enjoy the company. And bring Matthew. It'll be good for him.
You will quiet you and with love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. I read from the prophet.
So there's a religious leader outside the temple reading a scroll. And Simon is there listening, and he walks away because the words, I don't know if they affect him negatively or if he's bored or if he's doubting.
He looks troubled about what he's being asked to do, it seems to me, because Dallas
right.
likes to show these crises of conscience with these characters before they meet
mm-hmm.
Jesus. They're struggling
right.
with whatever it is they're involved in, so.
Right. So right now he's walking away from that reading of some scripture or document or something, and so let's
mm-hmm.
see where this leads. Now he's looking outside the city, and he sees
mm-hmm.
Jews crucified. So
right.
I guess
he's saying he'll be there by this time tomorrow, or whenever
yep.
they're going to do their thing.
Exactly.
So maybe he's making his peace with dying.
Right. Or saying to himself, "How can I get out of this commitment I've, gotten into?" Because I
right.
may be winding up like one of these guys out here. So, all right, let's
right.
see where this goes.
So this person you need to see, we get to meet him in the temple?
No, actually the opposite. If I felt the pool.
Really?
Here we go again.
Yes. Stranger and stranger with you, doesn't it? I love it.
Why is it strange? Because the history of the pool is pagan.
I don't know much about the details. James usually knows that stuff more, but...
Bulls is to be a shrine for the Phoenician god... Epim?
Eshmun.
Eshmun, right. And then the Greeks and the Romans turned it into a place of worship for a healing cult of Asclepius.
Very good, Simon. How do you know this stuff?
And James isn't the only one who reads. John, you should try it.
I do know about the pools, though. Every day the water steams and bubbles, and some people believe that it's stirred up by an angel who heals the first person who gets to the stirred water.
I've read about this, that there are places on Earth where hot vapor steams up from the ground intermittently or makes water boil, and no one knows how.
I wouldn't say no one. Is that why we're going? You're going to tell us?
Someday someone will figure it out, and they'll tell everybody. But for now, we have a checkpoint to pass. Everyone behave yourselves.
So what say you to this point?
Well, Jenkins, Jesus being cryptic again in his answers, but, you know, what do you think about the pagan origins of the pool of Bethesda that there's talking about there?
Never heard of that. Never. Never heard of that.
Now, I hadn't either. Now, once I saw this, I did do some checking, and there is some stuff out there about it. Now, how true it is, I don't know.
In all my years of studying that text, I've never come across anything like that. Never. First of all,
well, it's not in the Bible. You have to go somewhere else to find it now. So, as usual, it's extra biblical, but why would Dallas need to put that in here?
Well, again, you know, for example, you have things in the Gospels, right? That,
mm-hmm.
That have to do with pagan cultures, and the Bible highlights that.
Yeah.
Right? The Bible tells you, okay, for example, how Jesus was born, how Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate, okay? Or
mm-hmm.
how when the census was taken, when Jesus, his parents had to go to Bethlehem before he was born because of the decree of Augustus Caesar. There are many times in the Bible when it talks about how pagan authority or pagan rule or pagan decree was issued, and then you can find a historical connection in secular writings to that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Example, in Acts 11, when it says there was a great famine, when Agabus, the prophet, prophesied that in the days of Claudius Caesar, there would be a great famine. Okay, you find that in the Bible. Then there are historical links that, yeah, this historian wrote about a dearth under Claudius Caesar. This other pagan author wrote about a famine in the reign of Claudius Caesar. So when you add Luke's, there are six other extra-biblical references that confirm that. Now, I have never found a confirmation that the Pool of Bethesda was first Phoenician, then Greek. Never. First of all, we know that the Phoenicians were never down in Jerusalem. The Phoenicians with Jezebel, and remember, Jezebel
right,
was Phoenician.
Right, yeah, the northern
kingdom.
She
was in the northern kingdom, not in the south, right? And we know that during the period of the Maccabees, the Greeks tried to introduce certain things under Antiochus Epiphanes, but not a pool. Never a pool.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then here's the kicker. For God to then take something that was first pagan, attributed to a Phoenician god of healing, then a Greek god of healing, and then God set up shop there.
Hmm.
That is bizarre.
Well, maybe Dallas is trying to say that maybe it wasn't never God doing this in the first place. It was always pagan, that it wasn't an angel, but people just thought it was, like they said there, I guess why would they have people fight to get into the water first or something? Why would God do that?
Well, because God is
sovereign.
So
it had to have been something else, not God, is what I think Dallas is after here, because it doesn't make sense that he would put this in here.
Well, again, let's go to the biblical account in John 5. The Bible says that every now and then God sent an angel to stir the water. Not to heat up the water, not to bubble up the water. These are not healing pools, you know, where you look for a pool where steam is coming up and you get into it and it helps you with your muscles and you. No, it's not that kind of pool. So he's twisting the chapter of John 5. And then this Jesus says, someday somebody will explain it. Well, you're God. Can you explain it?
You explain it. Right.
He says, someday somebody will explain
it. It looks like Simon Peter was giving the pagan religious answer, and then Matthew comes along and gives like a scientific answer about the steam and the bubbling up and causing the water to boil. So it seems like that's what he did here, to explain it amongst themselves, and then Jesus is like, well, somebody will figure it out eventually. I mean, Jesus never talked like this, especially when people asked him questions.
No, and here's the thing. Where's John here? Is John, remember, this appears in the Gospel of John.
The one that was in the middle, next to Simon and Jesus. That's John. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, because I'm looking for John. I can't, it's hard for me to keep track of these. But I'm saying, where's John? And again, John wrote down that an angel came down.
Yeah, he did.
There's no ambiguity, and he stirred the water. Not that he called the water to boil. These are not healing
fountains.
Like in a
jacuzzi.
Right, there are some places, or steam baths. There are places around the world where there are pools where steam comes up in water.
Yes,
and they are known to be medicinal. There are places like that. This is not that. This is not that. So this whole there is no historical record that the Phoenicians were ever in Jerusalem and had a place of worship. Mm. I've never seen that anywhere.
No,
ever.
I've never
in
heard
the,
of
in
that
all the
until, I, until I saw it here, and then I looked it up some stuff, and you can find the information on it on the internet, but it's nothing in the Bible or commentaries. I've never seen it there.
And not only do I read the Bible in commentaries, there's a magazine that I've been purchasing for years. It's called the Biblical Archaeology Review. There was a time back in the 1980s where this magazine would offer people in America to go to digs. You know, you can go for the summer to a dig, and I just never came up with the money to go. Back in 1980, they wanted like $3,000. You sent them the money, and then that would give you a spot on their team. And all they would do is they would give you a brush. And you would sit, sit on the sand all day and just brush things, you know, for pottery and all that stuff. But I would have found it interesting because I was into, Old Testament history big time. I was into Old Testament history, and I thought that it would be nice to go to, you know, a dig every summer. I just couldn't. I never came up with the money. I always wanted to, but I never did. And so I've been purchasing that magazine. It comes out quarterly. It's called Biblical Archaeology Review. And in all the years that I've been reading about Phoenicia in those magazines and in Jerusalem, never heard of anything like that, ever, ever. So I don't know where you got this from.
It's stuff out there on the internet, and it wouldn't surprise me if he got it from his Jewish consultant on his panel. It wouldn't shock me if that's where it came from.
But again, listen, commentaries on John, I think I have them all. I mean, I'm talking about the good ones. I'm not talking about the junky little paperback comic. No, I'm talking about great commentaries on John.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of anything like that. Never.
Well, I think it's a subtle way of bringing confusion, especially since Dallas doesn't take to really explain anything. He just puts this information in here and leave people to go figure it out, like the Jenkins Jesus said.
Yeah, I was shocked when he just said, you know, someday somebody will explain it all. Wait a minute, what you're here for?
Right.
What are you here? You are the desire. The Bible calls you the desire of the nations. We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for you to show up. You are the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have an answer? That makes you a false Messiah if you don't have
the
answer.
Right.
So, all right. Let's listen to a little bit more.
Could you look any more Roman? I'd have asked you to meet me in the town square if I'd known you'd show up looking like a senator.
I don't get paid to blend in. I'm Petronius, and you are the cohort Urbani?
Atticus Emilius.
Your reputation precedes you.
That is why I meet in alleys.
You're a long way from home.
Well, I go where the work is.
And what work is here for you, Atticus?
Your magistrate. Surprise. Something on Rufus's calendar puts you on a narrow road in the upper city just off the square.
Valerian. It's a restaurant. Rufus eats there every Saturday after Sabbath.
Oh, lovely. But you've got a skilled assassin that wants to cancel his reservation. Did no one ever teach you to mix up the routine?
He's inflexible about it.
That's good. Don't deviate. Do everything exactly as you'd planned.
What? No, I can't risk his life. Go arrest the assassin.
Do you know who the zealots are?
They're extremists. They reject the
They're martyrs with a persecution complex. Arrest him. We'll only be adding fuel. Torture him. He gets a seat closer to his god. No. I want to kill him, Petronius, in the act. And then I want to watch his rat pals scurry their way back to their nest with a story they can't glorify, can't teach to the next class of marks. And do you know why?
Why?
Because we were just better than they were. That's why. Rome won.
You should be a general.
Now, what fun would that be?
Well, you're going to have to lay out your plan to the magistrate and his wife.
She'll go for it before he does.
Tendinari says she doesn't.
I don't need the money.
Simon, do you remember me?
Simon?
You're Harry brother. They told me I could find you here. Uncle Ram at Anna's funeral.
You must be 30 years old. You're not Simon.
I'm almost 40.
I've been here 25 years.
You make the pilgrimage every holiday?
Yes.
And you knew I was here. Our order forbids coming to the Buddha Batista. I'm your brother.
This place is a pagan cult.
Since when do cults bother you?
This is not a pagan cult. Like we said before, there were healing shrines throughout the ancient world that belong to pagan gods. This is not one of them.
Right.
It's not. So when Simon says, I didn't come to see you because this is a pagan place, it's nonsense. That's not accurate.
Right.
And he wrote it that way because Simon is a zealot. Right, like the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees were zealous for the law, and they were zealous for contending what we call today contending for the faith. Right, the Pharisees were into contending for the faith. The zealots were into contending for the faith, but their contending was with a sword. Their contending
right.
was not the contending of minds, but the contending of bodies, strength. See? So when he says, well, I couldn't come here because the law prohibits it, it's a pagan place, that's a lie. There would be no pagan sanctuary there. In the Jews wouldn't have it.
Exactly.
They wouldn't permit it.
It's right in Jerusalem. It's not somewhere outside the gates or anything, according
to
that. No,
they wouldn't permit it. No,
right.
they that would not be allowed. This is not a pagan shrine to any pagan god.
And they got
healing.
It all decorated with all kinds of stuff. When the shot was looking in the face of the brother sitting there, I saw the evil eye symbol, that blue little circular thing, that's the evil eye, the ward off evil.
right.
They got this all decorated like a pagan shrine.
Yeah. No, this is I doubt very much he could have gotten this from the Jewish guy. I doubt it very much.
You don't think so?
No, because that Jewish commentator couldn't be worth two dimes. Because there's no way. Remember, it's the holy city.
Mm-hmm. I just thought about him because he's supposed to be the expert on this stuff as far as Jewry and the Holy Land, the culture. So I thought that would be the one he would consult with for this, but I don't know where Dallas got this and why he thought it good to put this in here, because I think it could just confuse people.
Well, now I understand why he did it that way, because now Simon is giving that as an excuse for not having
but
visited
not come
his,
to
brother,
see his brother
right, for 25 years. Right.
yeah,
right.
to
but
help
we,
him get healed.
Yeah, but this is nonsense. This is complete nonsense. Okay, we got a few minutes here.
I was embarrassed for you. Do you really believe in this? Can you try living with 38 years without life at work? And then tell me you wouldn't try anything and everything. Why wouldn't you at least come by once and carry me into the water? You could have tried. It is not in our God's nature to pit sick people against each other in a twisted game. I won't play it with you. Is it in our God's nature that his children would slit each other's throats? Have you no regard for the commandment that we shall not take another's life? And I, we both know the scriptures. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. The land must be purged. And what about our family? Are we to be purged too? You left me. You left all of us. I left you to save you. Do I look saved to you? I can't believe. You are worse than you used to be. My legs are the same as when you left. I'm not talking about your legs. I'm talking about you. This godforsaken place has turned my strong brother into someone hopeless. And where should I hope him? After all these years? You and your murderous kind. Jesse. It's killed me to watch you suffer in your life. And I am sorry. I truly am. But that's not the only kind of pain. And you're not the only one who feels it. But you know what? I am at least doing something about mine. And I'm not sitting in a bed waiting to die. Have you said all you need to say? I have to be in the upper city. Oh, let's meet by. There's still a mile away. Might as well be 1,000 miles to me. Whoever it is, don't do it. It's not worth it. If they catch you, they'll kill you. I'm not afraid of death. I just wanted to say goodbye because I didn't do it right the first time. I do love you. And I love God. Goodbye, Jesse. By the time you read this, I will be halfway to the mountains to join the zealots of the fourth philosophy in the spirit of our great King David, who sang, "Zeal for your house has consumed me." I know. I was a better writer then. And from Zephaniah, "Behold, at that time, I will deal with all your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth." Jesse, when you stand on 2 feet, I will know the Messiah has come. I will fight for the freedom of Zion in order to see that day. I stand by you. Farewell, Jesse.
Okay, since we're almost out of time, I guess Jesus comes, heals his brother, and because mm-hmm. he wrote, "When I see you standing on your feet, I will know that Messiah has come," that's the connection. That's how Simon goes with Jesus. Is that it?
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it.
Yeah. Again, look. this is not a pagan site. Archaeologists discovered pool there. There were two pools attached to each other, divided by a wall. Mm-hmm. One was 55 feet long, another 65 feet long. The shorter pool, which was 55 feet long, had five arches over it. And this was unearthed by archaeologists. Nothing here about it ever being pagan, or that it could be pagan in Jesus' day. That's mind-boggling that this guy would even suggest that in the holy city you would have a pagan shrine. You know, it's like when Antiochus Epiphanes, he tried to bring a pig into the temple.
Yeah.
You know how the Jews went berserk over that?
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't even allow this to happen,
this thing to be here with all this pagan stuff all spread around and decorating the place.
No, this is an impossibility. This is again another yarn he has spun. Like I said, in all my years, and I've been at this for a long time, that first it was a Phoenician healing site that was then taken over by the Greeks. That's crazy talk.
I never heard of it either.
That's crazy talk.
And
I wouldn't even investigate it because I just know this guy's been your look. I mean, Bethesda, the meaning of the name Bethesda, House of Grace, a pool in the northern part of Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate. At this pool, Jesus healed a man who had an infirmity of 38 years. Archaeologists have discovered two pools in the vicinity, one 55 feet long, another one 65 feet long, respectively. No, this is nonsense. I've preached on this pool, on this chapter in the Bible. I've gone through every Bible. I don't have Mickey Mouse Bible dictionaries. I have expensive stuff that I paid big money for so that I could know what I'm talking about. Never heard of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And two are Bible dictionaries. One's called the Anchor Bible Dictionary, which is $500. It's a six-volume, the Anchor. And also the Interpreters, which is another six-volume, very expensive. Those two, big-time scholarship in those two big Bible commentaries, Bible dictionaries, multi-volume sets with archaeologists writing articles in there. Never heard of this stuff, ever.
Right. I've never even seen this in the Mickey Bible dictionary. You know,
right.
I mean, you can find a whole bunch of stuff, anything on the internet, but I'm just saying just in the hard copy stuff I have, I had never seen that before.
Right. Maybe he's got it in a Mormon dictionary. I don't know. Maybe Mormon dictionary.
maybe it's in the Book of Mormon or something. I don't know.
Yeah. This article goes on to say the Crusaders later built a church on the site to commemorate the healing miracle that took place. No, this is, this is just crazy talk. But great show. We're going to get back into this because now, it's a cliffhanger because I want to see how this all works out. And I don't peek.
Okay.
I don't peek a week before.
Okay.
I like, Dallas Jenkins to get me upset from week to week. Yeah, he gets me upset from week to week. So
I hope it don't get your blood pressure up too much.
he gets my blood up in a good way. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what's the time on that when where we leave off at?
Yeah, we left off at 43 minutes, 43:14.
Oh. Okay. Got it.
43:14. All right, you have the last word.
Well, just thank everyone for listening, and have a great rest of your day and week, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.